I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, Hotel Mars, Episode N, David Livingston, Dr. Space, The Space Show, my colleague and co-host, and we're looking for heavy lift boosters. And we welcome James Bennett, an entrepreneur and space policy commentator, looking at the three possibilities of heavy lift developing in these next years for ambitions, not only to get to low Earth orbit, but also onto the moon. We all know that Russia, Roscosmos, has announced a partnership with China to build a moon base sometime in the next decade, next two decades. That's going to require heavy lift on their part. Maybe they have it, maybe they don't. Long March 5 is heavy lift. James, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. SLS, New Glenn from Blue Origin, and the Starship first stage, the heavy lift from SpaceX. Do all three, or does any one answer the ambition to build a moon colony and beyond? Good evening to you, James.
Good evening. I'm very happy to be here, I should say. Well, they're alike in some ways, but they're each distinct in their own way. And I would say that you could do a lunar colony with any of them. For that matter, you could probably do a lunar colony with Falcon Heavy, but in the case of New Glenn or Falcon Heavy, you would have to go about it in a somewhat different fashion with more on-orbit assembly and staging and such. Because size-wise, SLS and the Starship with the Heavy booster are roughly in the same category. New Glenn's a little smaller. It's more like in the Falcon Heavy or Atlas V, the latest model class. So SLS, if it achieves its performance goals, and ditto with Falcon, with the Starship with the Heavy booster, can do more. They could both put Orion to the Lunar Gateway, for instance, without any trouble. New Glenn, I don't believe, has the performance to do that. In a way, New Glenn's in a different category. So, you know, Blue Origin has in the past talked about a step beyond New Glenn called New Armstrong, which would be in that category. But, you know, they don't have New Glenn flying yet. So that's what we need to talk about.
Good. I understand. David?
Hi, James. We see the progress that SpaceX is doing and testing, but what about SLS and what about New Glenn? I mean, there's no visible progress getting reported there. Is this something we can really take seriously, or does Starship own the whole game here in the United States?
Well, I would say in reality, Starship is way ahead of the other two. Because, you know, Starship has made visible progress. People have criticized Musk for his predictions in the past, but, you know, when you really look at it, Musk has stumbled on the time scale predictions of what he's going to do, but he's always made the performance and the price predictions that he's made. He's always been on target there. So I would say there's a very high probability of Starship and the Heavy Starship booster being available. You might put a question mark behind the timelines, but then they haven't committed to any firm timelines. So, yeah, the credibility line, they are way ahead. You know, they've been working on SLS so long, and it's had so many glitches and slowdowns. And the NASA way, you know, if you have anything go wrong, you stop everything and kind of review and ponder everything until everyone's ticked their boxes, and then they make another attempt. You can see that with the so-called, you know, the green light firing they did earlier this year. They had it shut it down very early, and you know, if that had been SpaceX, they probably would have fired it 2 days later. But you know, NASA has yet to do a refire. And, you know, you could say slow and steady wins the race, but Blue Origin likes to, you know, they have the tortoise on their company seal, and they like to say, we're making progress ferociously but gradually, step by step. So you could say, well, maybe this is the tortoise and the hare, but Elon Musk is a hare that shows no sign of relaxing or taking a nap or getting complacent about it. He's, you know, he's fast and steady. So I think SpaceX is the most credible entity out there. On the other hand, SLS, well, you know, there's this big lump in the NASA budget, there's $3 to $5 billion, depending on what year you're talking about, that goes to SLS, and it's kind of like, you know, the dragon's treasure in Lord of the Rings, Smaug's gold hoard. There's this fantastic, tempting, large pile of gold, but it's guarded by a fierce dragon, and the cave is littered with the skeletons of people in the past who have tried to grab it. And politically, that's still the case. However, maybe the dragon is getting tired and the environment is getting a little less favorable to it. In other words, the Biden administration may take a new look at that lump of cash in the NASA budget and have other ideas about what they want to do with it. So far, they've said, no, we're on course. SLS is the vehicle of choice, but, you know, things can change.
James, let's look at the other side for just a few moments. The announcement by Russia and China, is this premature? Do they have the, in your measure, in the buzz in the community, do they have the technology and the sustainability to build a moon colony at the South Pole?
Well, I think that the announcement was made for political purposes, and it was kind of the actual technological capabilities had almost nothing to do with the political decision to make that announcement. As I said, you could do a lunar base with the medium-sized launchers that are available today if you chose to take a different path, if you did more on-orbit assembly. There are people that say, you know, that in the long run would be riskier, but, you know, the Chinese and the Soviets have both accepted a great deal more risk in their programs and still have managed to accomplish a lot with no greater overall loss of life than the U.S. program. So I would say a qualified yes to their capability, but it's not the case that they got to this point, looked at their technology, said, yes, now we can go for moon base. It's like they decided politically it was good to announce that, and they will just tell the technologists what they need to accomplish within a certain amount of time if they indeed go ahead with this. There are a lot of details about how it would be financed, governed, exploited, et cetera, that I suspect have not been worked out yet between the Russian and Chinese governments.
One more question, David. Go ahead.
Do you believe that Starship will play a role in our lunar settlement, our lunar colonies? How do you see that shaping up?
Oh, I think Starship will be the mainstay of all inner solar system transportation for some time to come. I think it will be the DC-3 of inner space exploration, inner system exploration. I think in reality, I think SLS at the most would be flown for a couple of prestige flights and then, you know, quietly put to bed, you know, maybe not so quietly put to bed. New Glenn, you know, it's not in that market. It could be used, for instance, to support some really interesting space station work in low Earth orbit. And I think there's a lot of opportunities there. That's on the path to Bezos's ultimate ambition of O'Neill colonies, not the moon. So we'll see about Blue Origin. Certainly, as long as Jeff Bezos continues to sell Amazon stock and fund Blue Origin, it's going to be there doing things. So it's almost more a matter of their will than the rational place it plays in a space architecture.
James Bennett is an entrepreneur and space policy consultant. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N.